الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. Over the past few days we are discussing that we should keep a complete and perfect roza, and that entails, besides the basic roza of not eating, drinking and satisfying one's sexual desires, together with that also roza of the eyes, roza of the tongue, of the ears, of the hands, legs, the other limbs of the body, and roza of the thoughts. And then also roza of food, that is, we should stay away from all haram, doubtful, unhealthy food. So with regard to the last aspect, the food aspect, yesterday we discussed that food is that thing that has a complete and definite effect on every aspect of a person's life. And the example of that is very clear, that when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam ate of the forbidden food of Jannat, immediately his, Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam's, clothes fell off them. So the food that we eat, it has a direct effect upon a person. That story is also a famous story, when one person was forced to have one of three things. Either he must drink wine, or he must commit adultery, or either he must murder. So he said, murder is terrible, adultery is also terrible, I'll opt for the least thing, that is drinking wine. So when he drank wine, and the effect of that was he committed adultery, from that adultery a child was born, and he murdered the child also. So what we eat results in all the other things also. So therefore it is extremely important, we must consider what we eat. And in eating, yesterday we explained that there are two aspects. One is of haram. One is our money is haram with which we buy. So what we consume may be halal, but because the money, it was haram, so that also becomes haram. But this is, in a one sense, a lighter form. The day a person rectifies his money matter, a person stole money from his boss, and with that he bought food, etc., he ate it, or clothes he wore. The day he asks maaf from the boss makes him maaf, or he repays the boss, then that again gets reversed and it all becomes halal again. But if we eat something which is haram, that cannot be reversed. The effect of it, a person, he can make tawbah, Allah will forgive him, but the effect of it will remain. Like if a person eats poison, then even by mistake, he won't get the guna for eating the poison. And for dying, he is committing suicide. But by mistake, he did not know it was in a bottle, it was in some container. He ate it, he died. Now he won't get the guna for taking poison. But the effect of it is going to take place. Similarly, if a person eats haram, and unintentionally also, and even intentionally, he makes tawbah afterwards, the guna will get maaf, but the effect of it will still remain. Therefore, this is a very important thing. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Ma'ariful Quran has written that what a person consumes, what he eats, is very important. He should not be lax in this. He should make sure that what he eats is halal, is good, healthy food. And between this, one question comes: when we eat by other people, where a person perhaps has a doubt of the food, he should make sure that it is correct. Yeah, he should not. Yeah, is a point here. If a person goes for collection by somebody, and there is a doubt whether his earnings are correct or not, and that person perhaps invites you for meals also. So when his earnings are not correct, you are collecting money from him, and now you're going to eat the food also. So these are two things. With regard to the money, if it is known that he is earning from halal also, and is earning from haram also, then tell him that, give me from your halal sources. Tell him that. Or at least, if that you cannot do, that you take it, it is from his halal sources. But for the food, that effect what it will have on a person, that a person must be more particular about. So the food that a person eats is extremely important. He should see that it is good halal food. And there are three things, as we had mentioned. It must be halal also. It must not be doubtful also. Maybe it is doubtful. That also a person should stay away from. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكَ. Give up that in which you have a doubt for that in which you do not have any doubt. And then the third thing is also very important. It must be healthy, wholesome food also. It can be halal also. It can be, there is no doubt in it also, but it is unhealthy food, which commonly we call today junk food. Unhealthy food. That also is not, does not come in tayyib. Halal and tayyiba, that it is halal, isn't any doubt in it, in the food itself, from the sources we got it, acquired it through, and also that it is healthy, wholesome food. This is the food that we should try and consume. As we had explained, Allah Ta'ala says to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat wa amalu saliha. Allah addresses all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam and specially stresses to them that they should eat. Yeah, Allah did not even mention halal, because for the Anbiya alayhi salam, it's a foregone conclusion. They're only going to eat halal. But for them, particularly what Allah had stressed is that it must be tayyiba also. Where it is halal also, it is halal. The Anbiya alayhi salam, a person can't even imagine or think that they're going to eat. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had consumed something doubtful, he put his fingers in his throat and brought it up again and spewed it out again. That from the earnings from which the person had given him something, the person, a soothsayer, magician, and he had doubts on that, his earnings are not halal. The food itself was halal, but the earnings from which it was acquired was not halal. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought it up again and spewed it out and told that that part of the body that is nourished with haram, the only place fit for it is the fire of Jahannam. So how important, isn't it? And it stays, the food that a person eats stays the effect of it in the body for about 40 days. So if a person has consumed haram, his namazas, all his ibadat also, what becomes of that? So it's a very, very important thing. And today, this is in 1978, we were in Jamaat in Turkey, and we found out that all the abattoirs were owned by Jewish people. So it's quite evident what the purpose of it is, why the Jews will want to control the abattoirs. As we know about Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, when he came into power, the first thing he did, he invited a group of pious and righteous people who were mustajab with da'awat. Whenever an oppressive ruler was put over them, they would make dua and that oppressive ruler would die, he would go away. So the first thing he did is he invited them to a meal and he fed them haram. And then he said, from today I'm safe now from their badduas. Now if they make baddua for me, it won't have any effect on me. It comes in the Hadith Sharif. A person is on a journey and in Safar, in another Hadith it comes, duas are readily accepted. And the person is distressed also. He's got big, big problems. And he stretches out his hands and he's making dua. And it comes, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ. How can his dua be accepted? His clothes are of haram. His food is of haram. His drink is of haram. Where are his duas going to be accepted? Therefore, people always, the pious were very particular. They would abstain tremendously in about the food matters. So, what we consume, a person must be very, very concerned about it. That is, consuming the right things. So, with regard to this further also, the one aspect today, where it has become greatly difficult also. in a sense that ingredients, most of the countries, international law, they have to disclose what the ingredients are, but only to a certain percent. Certain percent they are allowed not to disclose. And in that which they are not, and then also all the technical and scientific terms they use, the E numbers, for example, a person doesn't know. So a person, very fortunate is that person who makes ihtiyat in that also. Today, and this is no exaggeration, money has become very easily available. Compared to like in the 40s, in the years of the Depression, money was very hard. The people did not have money. Today, almost any small children, any person who hasn't got other things, but he has got money for cell phone, all the time he's on the cell phone, etc. Previously, on the landline also, a person had to consider very much when he makes a call. He had to think how long is he speaking. But today, all the time people are on the cell phone, which is costing money also. And in many other aspects also, that was a time when there was hardly a car in the town. If one person had the car, the other people, when they needed it desperately, to go and beg him. There was one telephone on the whole street. And if a telephone, the people should go in the toilets in the houses. 5-6 houses would share one toilet, would share one bathroom even. So those were the conditions. And today, everyone has got a cell phone. Cars are easily available. Everything has become easily available. So with money today, easily accessible. Today, a person just goes in a shopping mall, in a shop, and is whatever he wants to, just takes it off the shelf and puts it in the basket, and then he just goes and it gets paid for. And we don't consider what are we putting in that basket. What are we bringing home? So this is a very, very important aspect. Today, the fire which is in our houses, husband and wife, children being disobedient, one major aspect that we must look into is what we are eating. But today the children, for the mother it just suits her fine also to give the child a groovy, give her one can of any cold drink, one packet of crisp. The children also just love all those things. And they are too happy with that. But there is absolutely no nutritional value in that. One lady teacher in the UK many years ago, after she had many years of experience of teaching, something came to her mind, and usually when a person controls something is under his control well, then he thinks further now. What must I do more? So she thought, a thought came to her that my children, my class students, let me see, well, what is the relationship of what food they consume and what results they have academic and their behavior. For that she drew up a chart with their names, and in one column she asked each student what they have for breakfast, lunch, supper. And in the next column, all the academic results, their marks, and the other, their behavior. And she saw very clearly that those students who were not having good, healthy food, their behavior was bad, their results were bad. So quietly on her own, she supplemented with nutrients, vitamins, etc. And she saw clearly a marked difference that now their behavior also improved, and also their results also improve. So what food we eat, when we were still, the madrasa was at 39 Kismet Avenue, we just started, on one occasion one father phoned and he wanted to take his son to the dentist, orthodontist. Now that's also a new word. No more they are teachers, now they are educators, no more students, now they are learners. It's a new South Africa, only new terminology, but things how they are going. But anyway, so he wanted to take him, so he took him. He brought him back, so I asked him what happened. So he says, you wouldn't believe me, and I wouldn't have believed it also if I was not the person first on hand to see. The tooth was actually, he says, growing upside down. The roots at the bottom and the tooth itself inside. So I said, how can this be possible? He said, the dentist said, because of the junk food the children are eating today. If a person eats good, healthy food, till old age. He doesn't have to have glasses also. He doesn't have to have, today every child has got braces, and how expensive, isn't it? And all this is of the food that we are eating. If a person eats the right food, he will get saved of all these things. So this lady also noticed what food the children are having and their results and their behavior also. So in our homes also, we have to see that even ourselves, when we get lazy for ibadat, etc., that what food are we eating? These things have got a direct effect on a person. The problems that we are having in the house, our akhlaq, the wife's behavior, her akhlaq, and the children, their behavior, it has a lot to do with the food. And also, the food that a person eats, just like if we check in our goods at the airport, there is a computer code on it. The same way, if you send an article by post, and they can trace it and tell you that at this moment where this bag is gone. If it has been gone into the wrong place, from that they can say it's gone to this part of the world. It's gone, it's presently there. Hopefully in so many days we'll retrieve it, get it back here. The same way with your registered article, they can tell you at this moment where it is. They can check it on. It is with this, for example, if a passenger doesn't turn up and board the plane, they take off his goods again. Now, so a lot of goods there, how can they know where it is? But with that code, they can trace it exactly in which of those, what are those things? Those things in which they pack it. In which one it is, they can trace it immediately. And they take it off in a very little while, they take it off again. So similarly to that, the food that we eat, a father what he eats, the mother what she eats, that by in Allah's knowledge, that particle of food is also known exactly. And with which particle the semen is made. Some particles of that food which is good will go to the eyes, some to the brains, all the parts of the body that we need. We read that something is good for the liver, something is good for the heart, something is good for the bones, something is good for the marrow. All those things go to their places. The stomach's computer system working and sends it there. And that of which the semen is made, from which the food the semen was made, and from which semen, lot of semen is made, that one drop from which the child is going to be born. And that specific little, that small tiny part from which now it goes into the mother, and the mother mixes with it. And from that of which the child was going to be made is in Allah's knowledge. So that of which it is going to be made, the child is going to be like that. If it was from the khajur of Medina Sharif, and it was the zamzam of Makkah Sharif, the child will be a Makki, he will be a Madani. And if it is from junk food, then the child will be a junkie. And then we wonder that why is this child like this, why is his habits like that. It is what we have eaten, and that goes there. And then we call the child the black sheep, or whatever else it is, but we hardly ever think that it is of the food that what we have consumed, the child is formed with that. Therefore, it is so particular, duas also at that time, when a person cohabits with his wife, and when he ejaculates, there is a dua at that time. But how many people remember the dua at that time to make that dua? Then also, when a person enters his house, there is a dua to be recited at that time also. Otherwise, it comes clearly in the hadith, shaitan also enters with a person. And when you eat and you don't read duas, bismillah, shaitan partakes of the food. And when you sleep with your wife and you don't read the duas, shaitan has a share there also. So, and then that is one, because we don't read our duas. And then of the food that we have eaten. And then what do we expect of the product? My Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that if you plant weeds and you expect roses to grow, how can this happen? And nobody plants weeds. Weeds grow on their own. But if you plant weeds and now you expect roses to grow. So when we plant weeds for our children's aspect, that we, what food we have eaten, and we have got no namaz in our life, we got no deen in our life, we are not reading the du'as at that time, and then we are expecting beautiful, wonderful, healthy and pious children. Just by going to a buzurg and making that du'a, how is it going to help? Example of that is, you get to O.R. Tambo Airport and you want to go to Dubai, but the Dubai plane is full. And the plane going to Timbuktu is empty. So you say, I'll sit in this plane, and those people going to Dubai, and from there they're going to Makkah Sharif, I'll tell them to make du'a at Multazam. That this plane, yeah, I'm going to Timbuktu, but Allah has got Qudrat over everything. And du'a changes taqdeer also. So I'll tell them to make du'a, and I must reach Makkah. I must reach also Dubai, and from there I must get to Makkah Sharif. Allah has made this world Darul Asbab. No matter how much du'as they make and how pious they are, but the eventual result will be you'll reach in Timbuktu. So therefore, our lifestyle, what it is, and this is also another aspect with regard to our food and our lifestyle also. Today, generally, we have got three lifestyles. One is a Western lifestyle, which is predominant. One is our own desires, whims and fancies. We live according to that, do what we want to. So that we live that lifestyle of our whims and fancies and a Western lifestyle. But the result we want is Islamic lifestyle. How can that be possible? And just what 1 minute's du'a and 24 hours besides the 1 minute, we are in other aspects of our life. So what we are going to be, that will be the result that is going to be with us also and with our children also and in our house also. In our homes also, we are living a Western lifestyle, a sinful lifestyle. There is all TV, video, moving, going out, living it out, all those things. And when there's a problem, then the wife must go to Maulana. Maulana must give her advice. But even before that, must just get one ta'weez from her amir. And easy at that time, make jadu the scapegoat. That somebody is jealous on us, somebody made jadu on us. But the biggest jadu is our lifestyle, is the TV. We are making jadu on ourselves all the time. And then we just blame it on jadu. That is very easy. And today, jadu is also a status thing. That if somebody has made jadu on you, then it's a status thing. And now you're going from amil to amil. So give your wealth also you are losing. Your iman also. Your modesty also. Everything goes. So anyway, so we have to see that what we eat, how important it is. And one morsel of food, if a person eats all halal and one thing is haram or one thing is doubtful, it's going to have its effect also. If we are eating a whole meal of good, healthy food and with a little bit of poison we put with, well, it's going to have its effect on it. One dietitian told a friend of ours that you Muslims are so lucky that you are given rosas to keep, and it has been made compulsory. She says, for your health, there could be nothing better from besides the religious aspect. From a health point of view, there could be nothing better than fasting. And she says, moreover, that your Prophet, your Rasul, your Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has taught you to open your fast on dates. She says, there couldn't have been anything more better than this. Because she says, if you fast and you open your rosa on fries, anything which is fried, the amount you gained, your health-wise, what you benefit your body had gained, you lose much more when you open your rosa on fries. And when you open it on fruit, and the king of fruit, which is khajur, there could be nothing more better. So how perfect isn't our deen and our religion? And khajur and water, dates and water, we are told to open our rosa. So we should open our rosa on this, and then after we make our maghrib namaz, we have our supper. Now if you want to have your fries in limited portions, no problem if you want to have it. But open your rosa on khajur, on dates and water. Also yesterday we mentioned that many of us think now to live a proper lifestyle is impossible. Like, if it was impossible that you can open your rosa on dates and water, until the whole Dasturkhan is not full. But how many of other things? Our roza just could not open. If you are in Natal, without Halim, the roza can never open. Every place they've got their specialities. And without that, the roza doesn't open. But here we see that how many people open their roza on khajur and water, and the roza does open. It doesn't remain closed. The roza opens on khajur, on water. So if it is up to us, if we will make that effort, it will come, which our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, Sare alam mein yahi hai akhtar ki aaho fuga. Hazrat says, my plea and cry in the whole world is just this, chand roz, chand roz, khoon e tamanna se khuda mil jaye. Just a few days of this practice, of giving up your desires, and you'll find your Allah. It's just a matter of exercise of a few days, and really it is 40 days. Just 40 days that a person spends correctly, and he will find his Allah. Not perhaps immediately, but he's on that course. Just like a student who becomes an alim, he graduates, he's given his sanad, his certificate. If he thinks I'm an alim already, he's greatly misled. He hasn't got any experience. That knowledge he has just acquired, it will take years for him, even for the public, to recognize him as an alim, if he carries on in that way. So similarly, if a person spends 40 days, it doesn't mean that now he has found his Allah. Now he has found the route to walk, how to carry on the rest of his life. On the appointed time, he will find Allah Ta'ala. And if he finds Allah in that 40 days, mashallah, he's lucky. But normally that is just to put you on the course. When you get your driver's license, you're not such a skilled driver that you can handle every situation. But as you will keep on driving, if you don't drive, I got my driver's license now, finished, the job is done, and you never drive. What have you done? Nothing. From that same thing, understand that what is the real purpose of Khilafat is to carry on the work of Islah in the people. And really, one's own, what that niyat a person should do for his own Islah. But if a person gets Khilafat and packs it away with attar and rose petals, and there is my certificate to Jannat, that person is misled. That is that you must do the work, you must carry on. And it is possible for every person, if with nobody else, at least with himself, he has majlis. Otherwise, with his family, just one, two people, that is the object, that a person must have majlis. When he gets Khilafat, he must start. Then, inshallah, the effect of that Khilafat will also take place. Otherwise, it is just a paper, and it really hardly means anything. Well, for what it is given is that a person must do work of deen. That now the person who has given the Khilafat hopes that this person will carry on and do work of deen. So coming back to our subject again, the food that we eat, how important it is. And today, one thing was, when we go into the shopping malls, we go to the supermarket, and we just put in our trolleys whatever we want to, a person must consider very much what he puts. And then he should try and check out as far as he can and take all his precaution to see that he is consuming the right thing. Today, besides interest being, every effort being made to make it halal in its various forms, today things like gelatin, etc. And everyone, how many people giving permission for the gelatin? And there is detail in that also. A person must see that he consumes what is halal. Further then, while we also discuss what da'wats also be particular. Be careful in this matter. And many people, at this point, they are worried of akhlaq, that we mustn't hurt anyone's feelings. So much so we have seen from our buzurgs, even just overeating, when people force them to eat, then they say, bhai, that it is my stomach. I have to afterwards bear the consequences. When a person overeats, what it will be? Your hospitality on its place. But it is my stomach. Somebody gave hadiya, a present, to Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, surma, to what you put in the eye. So Maulana said, I will get my, asked him first, what are the components of what is the surma made? So he says, somebody gives you hadiah, and you, so much you got all your nakhra, you got your mizaj, you got your temperament, you're asking this. So then he said, then Maulana said, I'll get my hakim to check it out first. He said, you are so particular, I'm giving you a hadiah. Hadiah, a person accepts a gift. So he says, it is your hadiah, your gift you are giving me, but it is my eyes. If it's going to be harmful for my eyes, then I don't want to use such a thing which is going to be harmful. So with regard to our eyes, we will know. Somebody gives you something, but you know, I must find out, is it good for my eyes or not? But for the stomach, everything a person puts into the mouth, there he doesn't find out. And from the stomach, it comes to the eyes again. What you put your surma is from the outside you put in. And perhaps that won't have so much of a detrimental effect of what is coming from inside. What you are eating and from your stomach, from inside what is coming to the eyes and going to the brains and going to the heart, that will have a more greater effect. So a person has to be very particular. In this, we are very worried that I mustn't offend the person. That if I will have to ask him or something, he will get offended. So yeah, you are worried of that offense, that the person mustn't get offended. You are not worried of your iman also at the end. Because what a person eats is going to affect his iman, is going to affect his amal, is going to affect his akhlaq, etc. So, and this also, that yeah, we are so worried, we have got that amount of taqwa, that I must not hurt somebody's feelings. This is what Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah ali calls kilabi taqwa, the taqwa of a dog. How is that? That when a dog urinates, it picks up its leg, one leg quite high, so that the dirt, the napaki, the urine mustn't touch its body. It's so particular, I must stay apart, the urine mustn't touch me. But immediately after that, it goes and eats some dirt and filth also. So what was going out, it's not worried about, it's very worried about that, that it mustn't touch my body, it's napak. But what napak it's putting in the mouth, that it's not worried about. So we are worried that our akhlaq, we mustn't hurt somebody's feelings. And a person can say everything in a suitable way, yet such a time to make a excuse also, that I can't come, I'm not feeling well, I don't feel like eating now, I'm just very upset, I can't eat now, or that I just don't like to eat meat. Meat is just doesn't agree with me. And almost everywhere there will be enough of other things also that a person, the least you can have is a cup of tea also. You can ask for a cup of tea and have something. I accepted your da'wah also, but you are doubtful of the meat, etc. Then you don't have to have it. There are ways that you can avoid it also. So a person must be particular of what he eats. With regard to this, another aspect also which is very important, and where, as I mentioned, we have got a Western lifestyle also. And that is, one part of that lifestyle is eating out. And unfortunately, this also has become a norm with good people also. Until you don't eat out, it is no status. It's a status thing that you go and you eat out. And then all the other harms that go with it. That you leave your home alone, and you leave the amount of money that you spend. And when you are eating out, somebody is serving you. Psychologically, you get a big shot attitude. And you start bossing the person around. Because now you are paying for that services. And you want your money's worth now. So you automatically it comes in your mind that I have to treat this person. And then you are with your wife, children, you have to show them I'm the boss. Whether at home you're the boss or not, that is a different story. One person was sitting with his friends, and he told his friends, my wife came crawling for me. So they couldn't believe it. They knew his wife, what type, how she in fact hits him, gives him a hiding everything, and she came crawling to him. They couldn't believe it. They say, your wife came crawling to you? She said, of course, she came crawling. They asked, what happened? She gave him a good hiding, and he went and hide under the bed. And she went crawling to pull him out again, to give him more of a hiding. So she went crawling to him in any case. So anyway, that is a place where we can show now what big bosses we are. and what authority we have got. And this is one of the worst things that could have happened to society. And this has started from America, and it started with all migrant laborers who don't have no family they have got. They hardly have a kitchen, so they just have to eat. So these outlets, this food outlets, fast food outlets, started actually in that fashion to serve them. But today, whether it's the president of America or the president of any country, nobody stays without the fast foods and with that food from the with those outlets. And why do our tabiat go to these things now? Why suddenly has this thing taken on and it goes towards these things? The reason for that is, which I was mentioning, that with which drop of semen the child was born, that effect is 100% in that child. One thing that was astonishing me, which I could not understand, was that today we find that the children by nature, psychologically, and all psychologists accept also that children like bright colors in their clothing, everything. If you put cold drink in front of them, bright orange, Fanta, and bright green, cream soda, and other colors also, raspberry, red, and a bottle of Coke, yeah, automatically the hand will go for the black. It won't go to the colors. Otherwise, children always like colorful things. They won't go for the bright orange, they won't go for the bright red or the green, they'll go for the black. Why is this? Another thing is, what was astonishing me and which I see so much, that small children, the way they'll teach you the cell phone, things which you don't know, they know. On your car, and forget your own car, they'll see a car from a distance and they'll tell you this is that car, which you cannot make out. In your own car, they'll tell you the functions of the things which you don't know, but they know it all. How come all these things are by nature in a child? That is just by nature. Where is it on? That same, that drop of semen. That from what it was made, and that semen was made from blood, and the blood is made from the food. And the food that we eat, it has got the rays of the sun in it, it has got the light of the moon in it, it has got the wind in it which is blowing, everything, the whole environment. So today's environment is in that food. So it's all that is in that small drop today, when we can understand that a chip can contain so much. And all these things, so that one drop of semen, not even a drop, but a small speck of that semen, which is enough in order for a child to be made, it contains all those things in it. And all that is transferred in the child. Therefore, today's children, their nature is all these things. They go towards this. Effort is made, it can be corrected, but by nature they go towards all these things. So, where were we? Jazakumullah. That's a good summary. Why has this come in the nature of people to go out suddenly? It was that what was in there, and it has an effect on the people, on the child afterwards. Today our children, one place I was explaining, like, of delicious food. So I asked the children, what is biryani, samosas delicious, or is all the burgers? And they say burgers are. Today their nature, those things are the things which are delicious, which are the things that they go for, not the things that are prepared at home. For us, now we were in Stanger not long ago, just before Ramzan. So Ismail Bey, one friend of ours, he had him, Maulana Yunus, Qari Yunus's father-in-law, he said that when they were small, and his father, uncles, etc., they should eat. And when they should eat bhaji, spinach, all these things, and they should discuss them, very nice, very delicious. So he said, we should think, hey, they lie, man. Where are these things delicious? spinach and vegetables and beans and peas and papri. These things, they think delicious, and they should enjoy it. Say, today, very delicious. Say, they lie, can never be. How can it? He say, only now we realize that how enjoyable these things are. Because, he say, at that time, only meat used to be enjoyable to us. So anyway, children have got a different mizaj, all zamanites. Because that new thing which comes into the society, which is in the air, which is in the environment, which is in the atmosphere, that comes into the child. So this eating out thing is also one of the Hillary Clinton, the wife of the ex-president Clinton, where she has written that the woman, she says, our American woman, the Western woman, we have destroyed her. We took her out of the house, we put her into the workplace, in the marketplace, and she says it's not reversible now. To get the woman back to the house is not reversible, and we have done the greatest harm to ourselves. Where she acknowledges it in a book that she has written, but the NGOs everywhere in the poor countries, they are working to take out the woman, especially Muslim women, all women, take them out of the houses and bring them in the marketplace. They know the results, what destruction it has caused, but their object is to destroy men. Not only Muslims, all the men. And all they want to do from behind is to rule over all of us. While they just get us involved in all other things, sports and useless pursuits, which today have become sports is no more a religion, sports is a god now. People that live and die for sports. They give their lives for sport. It's not just, it was no more sports, it's no more a business, it's no more a religion also, it's a god now. People live and die for sports. So anyway, so this is what their object. So one of the terrible things in their culture is this eating out thing. And without us thinking also, we also just follow. This is another aspect also. Whatever a person wants to do, what is the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't think in that. That you have to do. But other things, don't just accept everything. Today, just any lives the others are doing, and very common thing, all are doing it. So what is wrong with it? Another thing, even the Maulanas are having coke, even the Maulanas are doing this, they also go to these places. There, then we, because Maulanas, other things which Maulanas, they go five times namaz also. That we don't see that Maulanas are doing that also. All the other things Maulanas are doing, that we don't listen to them. But just if a Maulana is having coke, Maulana also is having coke. That one thing, that is, it doesn't justify at all our actions. So this eating out, just a few aspects of it. What comes to mind, in the UK, in one particular town, at one time, the one restaurant, and of one country, of the eastern country, they owned that restaurant, the people, citizens of that, the kebabs of that place, the meatballs were famous, and people should come from far, far places to come and eat there. When it was found, when on one occasion, the refuse people who pick up the refuse, they picked up such a huge number of empty tins, the refuse of dog food, what food is given to the dogs. So they were wondering that there can't be so many dogs here. But anyway, they took it away. The next time again, then they reported it to the health department that something is fishy here, there is something doggy here. So many dog foods of this dog food tins here, there can't be so many dogs on this one premises. When they investigated, with that meat, what they feed the dogs, they were making the kebabs with that. And the people were releasing it, and from where and where they were coming. Once on the radio 702, here in our country, they were interviewing, as they have from time to time, all different people, the waiters at restaurants, etc. So one question they had put, at that time I happened to be listening, that you get customers who trouble you, would like to show who are like the big shots and they got authority and that. So what do you do in return? So what they want, one of them said, is that we prepare the food in the kitchen. We take it to the toilet, and from the toilet pan, we take that water and we sprinkle it on that food. And then we go and serve it to them. And then we stand and we just laugh at them, how they're enjoying, how they're carrying on now. We just have a good laugh at them. South African Airways, about perhaps 8 years ago, and South African Airways is one of the good carriers. And the catering, they win awards regularly for amongst the best their catering. In their food, feces was found, a stool. And when this was inquired, I asked one travel agent, and what he told me is because of the altitude, the food changes into feces. So I said, yeah, we're hardly still born, we're only born here. We accept what you say, that it changes. So this is the condition. How many times in the airlines people suffer from diarrhea? There's something in the food that has come in. So this is a very, very, very dangerous situation. Going out and eating. One is a person is helpless. He's a musafir, he's a traveler. And now, helplessly. But that also eat to your limit, just to survive. Which the Quran at such a time even allows haram to survive. When you haven't got anything. At such a time, you're not at that stage that you have to eat haram. But you have to eat. And there also one friend, he went overseas for business. He came back and he was very worried that in one of the European countries, the people he was doing business with, they took them to a Muslim restaurant. And the Muslim man looked good also, and he assured them it's halal, but he has got a doubt. But he ate there. So I told him, in future, on most of such tables, you'll find enough things with vegetables, etc. All those things, there are enough other things that you can eat, and you can have a proper meal with all those other things. So just avoid the meat at such a time, especially the meat. Take the other things in which generally there isn't any problem. Have those things. It is possible. Avoid such situations. But when you do get caught up in that, just have all the other things. There is more than enough of all that. So these places of eating out, once we were in the northern Transvaal, northern province now, there we were having a discussion like this, and they were saying that one person, he gave his car for service. He went and collected it. It wasn't ready. He had to wait still. So he was standing outside. And then he saw next to them was one of these fast outlets. And a lady who was working there, a black lady, she was a customer in the shop. He knew her. He saw her coming from opposite the road, crossing the road and coming with packets in her hand. So he asked her, what you went and buy? So she say, chickens. So he say, but you sell chickens here? So he say, yes, we got finished. And it's known, it's a halal chicken sauce. But now when their chicken got finished halal, then what they got from opposite, from the OK bazaars, that is what she bought. So the thing is commercialized, nobody looks at halal and haram. Looks at rands and cents, where the profits are coming in. Similarly there, that same person said their child, son or daughter, was studying in Pretoria area, Lodium, and they went and visit, so they wanted to go out and eat out on a Saturday night. So they went to one of these fast food outlets, and they ordered the food, and while they were waiting for it to be prepared, just to pass time, they asked that person, that this halal, what does it mean? So that person said, it means piri piri. So if halal means piri piri, then what can we expect? What are we going to get? So these are the great, great dangers in all these things. And over this thing comes up. With regard to Coke, over and over, all the other cold drinks, etc. But we just don't seem to be able to fight our nafs, and this thing just carries on. And also, the other aspect of it is that especially Coke, now that talk is subdued, but a certain percentage of that goes to Israel, and how they are hitting our Muslim brothers with the chaos. You can't imagine what harm and destruction. The whole big wall they built, our money is in there. If we are supporting all these things, on the one side, we shout big slogans, we go marching also. But on the other side, we are paying for it also. And we are with that big wall, how much of Muslim money is not in there also? That we have put up that big wall, etc. All these things. Besides that, we are supporting the Western, all the multinational companies. When we have all these things, then realize we are supporting, we are destroying our health, our money, and we are supporting multinational companies. And the vast majority of multinational companies support America and support the UK in the fight in Iraq and in Afghanistan, in Chechnya, in Palestine. So we are supporting all those people. So we have to consider very much from all aspects of the food that we are consuming, the drinks, this Western lifestyle, this culture. They have written clearly, they'll make sure that in the most remotest corner of the world, there'll be a Coca-Cola board there. For them, it's their culture, that Coca-Cola is a culture of theirs. You have a Coca-Cola can and a packet of crisp in your hand, that is their culture. Our culture is completely different. And we have been commanded that we should observe our culture. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. تَرْكَنُوا, Mawlana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Ali has written on this, تَرْكَنُوا, do not even from your heart incline to the wrong people. Forget actual practice or thinking, even from your heart, do not even incline to their way of life. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Otherwise, the fire of Jahannam is going to get hold of you. فَتَمَسَّ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَا. And you have got no helper besides Allah Ta'ala. ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. Then you'll get nobody to support you and help you. Allah is the one that can only support you. And Allah has prescribed, He has made this body, and He has prescribed what this body should have. Once we were in Standerton, and Maulana Ismail Khan, who is there, he is in charge of early bird chicken. He oversees the halal procedure. So he says once he saw that the chicken pieces were made, and they were quite blown up. So he asked them, how is this? So they say, we inject it. So he says, but with this, what you inject it, it causes diabetes and it causes blood pressure. They say, that is not our concern. Our concern is by us injecting it, it bloats it, it makes it big and it makes it heavy. So we get more money for our things. The volume is increased, the weight is increased. And today everyone looks for white meat. And those big pieces of white meat, that is what everyone looks for. Okay, so, and they said about the blood pressure and that they must sort out with the doctors. In other words, the other department, the one of the wealthiest organizations in the world is the World Health Organization. The amount of money the medical field is making on drugs, they put bimari into you, the one side. It is also almost an established fact that the AIDS is not from the ground. It is from the laboratories of America and Europe. From there, AIDS is coming into the people. Today we take injections for when a child is born, vaccinations, etc. We don't know how much bimari they are putting in the child. And then again, they again come with the other dawas again. Maulana Qari Yunus's father, Maulana Ismail Desai, we were there. Now, just before Ramzan in Stanger, and he had heart problems previously. He's all right, alhamdulillah. But then he has got some other terrible problems now, and terrible pain. So he says, to me, it is all this medicine they are giving me. With this medicines, many ask a cardiologist, when they give you your medicine for your blood pressure, then your sugar starts going up. So it causes that again. So this is the system, but only if we can realize. Even in medicine, if we can come to natural remedies. And the best medicine is your food. If you eat the right food, really you don't even need medicine. The food and your lifestyle, you have an active, you are active, and our Islam teaches us that. Allahu Akbar. Inshallah, we'll carry on tomorrow. Subhanallah.